no good. Yeah. I rode a trail through the neighbor's backyard, shooting the bad guys through my handlebars. Known for my bravery both far and near, and being late for supper was my only fear. I miss Billy the Kid, the times that he had, the life that he lived. I guess he must have got caught, his innocence lost. I wonder where he is. I miss Billy the Kid. These days I don't know whose side to be on. There's such a thin line between right and wrong. I'll live and learn, do the best I can.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Ryan Ruth has pleaded not guilty to 5 federal charges in the second assassination attempt on former President Trump. Ruth was in court today. For President Biden to survivors of what was once Hurricane Helene.
I've directed my team to provide every available resource as fast as possible to your communities to rescue, recover, and to begin rebuilding.
Vice President Harris has cleared a campaign schedule today to be in Washington for post-storm briefings. Former President Trump is in Georgia. At least 120 deaths are blamed on Helene, a number that officials say is surely to rise. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance will meet tomorrow night in the first and only scheduled vice presidential debate of the campaign. The nation's retailers are bracing for a possible port strike. Dock workers along Eastern Seaboard and Gulf Coast ports are threatening to walk off the job tomorrow. This is ABC News. It was a state bill that some thought could be a blueprint for artificial intelligence regulation nationwide. But now California's governor is vetoing it.
SB 1047 would have required artificial intelligence companies to establish a playbook for testing AI models and to show those plans to the California Attorney General. But the legislation was limited to companies building and training models that cost over $100 million. And that's why California Governor Gavin Newsom is vetoing the legislation, saying in a statement, smaller, specialized models may emerge as equally or even more dangerous than the models targeted by SB 1047. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
YouTube has pulled songs from artists, including Adele and Bob Dylan, due to an ongoing licensing dispute with the music group. The video sharing platform has failed to reach an agreement with the licensing company to renew its contract, and some tracks are blocked in the U.S., but YouTube says it's working to restore the music soon. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. During his Saturday campaign rally in southwestern Wisconsin, former President Donald Trump attacked Vice President Kamala Harris for allowing millions of migrants into the country.
She was the border czar. Now she doesn't admit that. Whether you call her a czar or not, she was no czar because she really wasn't a czar.
Trump spoke in Prairie du Chien, where a member of a Venezuela-based criminal gang was arrested earlier this month for an attack on a woman and her daughter. Trump will hold a campaign event Tuesday in Wanakee, north of Madison. 39-year-old Jesse Vang, the last person to see Elijah Vu alive, is getting another status conference in court.
The new status date for Vang was set for November 6th. Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline Labrie asked for the new conference date, with the lawyers representing Vang agreeing to that November date. Vang is still only facing chronic child neglect charges for incidents that happened before Elijah was reported missing back in February. Elijah's remains were found earlier this month on a hunter's property, 3 miles northwest of where Vang reported the toddler missing. Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, who's also facing chronic child neglect charges, has another court date set for October 22nd. In Manitowoc, Stephen Devine, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gao promises to challenge the latest decision against him by the UW Board of Regents.
Because the people who fired me today aren't a board of regents, they're a board of hypocrites. And now we look forward to defending our rights in a court of law before an impartial judge or jury. We seek not only to protect our own rights, but to protect free speech and expression for all Americans.
The Regents meeting at UW Parkside Friday voted unanimously to strip Gao of his tenured faculty position on the La Crosse campus. Gao was fired as chancellor after revelations that he and his wife produced pornographic material. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's the last day of September, and we're spoiled under sunny skies and high soaring, summery to the mid-80s. Cold front moves through overnight, kicking up those winds and dropping our temperatures to feeling more like fall, with highs in the mid-60s tomorrow. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
We'll detail expectations at the end of today's show. Ahead of that, we'll talk about things you can do this fall to increase the odds of crop success next year. We'll talk trends in the used machinery market, and we'll recap the events that shook the U.S. Southeast.
Live from the official final day of calendar September via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete, that's Greg Peterson. Then it's Missy Bauer from B&M Crop Consulting. Directly following the news, Brett Waltz from BAM WX, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Yeah, here we are, making our way into the final quarter of the year already. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it seems about right.
Yeah. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Good morning.
Boy, the horror stories coming out of the Southeast.
Yeah.
The Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, where it sounds like devastation like we haven't seen in quite some time from a hurricane. And the thing is, Davis, it's in an area where maybe they shouldn't really anticipate that there's going to be a lot of hurricane damage to think about. I've seen some of the comments about, geez, why didn't these people get out, you know, get to higher ground, get out of the way of the floodwaters? They were in higher ground.
Yeah, that's
the floods happened in high ground. It's just astonishing to me some of the damage that has happened. We'll get a quick recap on that from Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com, we will we'll take a look at what to expect here in the middle of the country for the next couple of weeks. It looks, as far as I can tell, you guys aren't going to get much of a break for harvest the way things are setting up. It's going to be all systems go weather-wise for quite some time is what it looks like. Of course, we got Machinery Pete, and we'll talk to Missy Bauer about some things that you can do this fall to increase the odds of success next year. So looking forward to – it's kind of an annual conversation we have with Missy now. Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting getting back with Missy. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, I got the National Weather Service outlook. There is a slight risk of excessive rainfall over parts of the central Appalachians and mid-Atlantic today. There is a critical risk of fire weather over parts of the northern and central plains today. There are excessive heat warnings and heat advisories over parts of Southern California and the Southwest. 72 degrees and sunny in Kansas City, headed for a high of 84 degrees, 59 degrees overnight.
Yeah, 69 degrees here in northeast Iowa, heading for a high of 83. We were close to 90 degrees over the weekend in central Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a very high pollen warning here, actually, presently, locally. Are you sensitive to the pollen at all? I'm feeling just slightly easily this morning, a little bit.
I think everybody is to a certain degree, and I don't know if mine's any worse than anybody else's, but
you sound fantastic. I'll give you that.
So do you. Okay, thank you.
Hurricane Helene had a major impact on U.S. cotton production chip, particularly, of course, in the southeast. The storm hit during a critical time as many cotton fields had open bolls and were nearing harvest. In Georgia, cotton producers reported yield losses ranging from 35% to total loss. Yeah. High winds and heavy rainfall degraded cotton fiber quality and quantity. You were just mentioning that, Chip.
Yeah, exactly. You go back many years to Hurricane Michael, and I believe the tally that we lost from Hurricane Michael alone was like 1.35 million bales.
Ooh.
So this is something that we're going to have to figure out as time goes on.
Well, Chip, USDA's quarterly grain stocks report out in less than an hour will set final 23-24 ending stocks for corn and soybeans. The report has a history of surprises, especially for corn, with analysts routinely missing those estimates by a wide margin. USDA will also issue its final estimates for 2024 wheat production. We'll go through expectations in the fourth here this morning, and then we've got... let's see. We've got someone to talk about the reports themselves this morning. The name is slipping me. Help me.
No, that's going to be me.
That's you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, and
excellent.
Then this afternoon, we've got Ben Brown from University
of
Missouri.
That's who I was thinking.
Yes.
Ben Brown from Missouri. Yes. Private exporters reported sales of 116,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China. That's for the 24-25 market year.
Yeah.
116,000, Chip.
Yeah, China is, if you believe that some of last week's business to unknown destinations was probably China, then China's been getting more active.
Yeah. Well, Chip, all three major stock indices registered gains for the week last week, with the Dow ending with another record close. That's its 32nd record close for the year. Oil prices rose on Friday, but ended the week lower as investors balanced rising global supply expectations with new stimulus from China. We've been watching this one, Chip. Ports along the East and Gulf Coast are on the verge of shutting down as labor talks have stalled. No negotiations are planned before dock workers' contracts expire today. President Biden said Sunday he will not intervene. Resolving the dispute is a matter for collective bargaining, he told reporters in Delaware. The union's bulk ship operations, which handle industrial commodities such as coal and grain, are covered under a separate contract. But chip dock workers in the U.S. already enjoy some of the highest blue-collar wages, with base hourly rates of $39 per hour, often leading to six-figure annual incomes due to overtime and work rules. Over to you, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Okay. Recap the events in the Southeast for us.
Yeah, it's almost hard to put into words just the devastation that they are dealing with down there. And part of the problem is they had a lot of rain right before Helene hit. So they already had flooding right before Helene made impact, and then just the track of it right into the mountains amplified the rain. Of course, I don't want to forget about the coastal areas as well that was devastated with the storm surge, but I think the big story has kind of turned into the flooding in the Appalachians in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly has. Unfortunately, it looks like there's some rain in the forecast near term for that area again.
Yeah, luckily, I think the heaviest is just east of where the worst flooding was. And so, you know, it's more in the eastern portions of Virginia and North Carolina. So I do think the worst of that misses those areas.
Okay. Come back to the Midwest here. What should growers in the middle of harvest be watching for?
Yeah, you know, you alluded to it. Overall, over the next couple of weeks, it really doesn't get any better in terms of harvest conditions. It's going to be persistently drier than normal. Really, the next 10 to 15 days, there's not a whole lot in terms of moisture, some pesky stuff maybe, but it's going to be pretty dry. And other than maybe a couple of fall fronts in there, it's going to be a good bit warmer than normal as well. And I really don't see a big change in that pattern ahead.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Brett. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Good luck, buddy.
Yep. Thank you, Chip.
All right. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Now, I usually look for silver linings and things, but I'm also a very cautious person at times. This forecast looks great for harvest. Number one, you're going to have to force yourself to take some breaks. Number two, do everything that you can to make sure that you don't start a fire out there in the field. It's going to be some dangerous conditions. We'll be back with AgriTalk in a moment. Lucas Fees is the senior dairy analyst with Rabobank. Lucas, milk prices have improved. What's that done for the outlook for profitability?
You're right. Class 3, Class 4 futures, in some cases at contract highs over the next several months. And importantly, too, feed costs have come down as well, creating a much better margin situation for dairy farmers looking ahead. It's an exciting thing to be able to talk about here after the challenges we've been facing lately.
Yeah, yeah. And the outlook in your Global Dairy Quarterly, what's the highlight there?
We entitled that quarterly report, Market Narratives Are Shifting, kind of highlighting some of these changes that we're seeing looking ahead. I think the good news overall is we don't necessarily expect a huge increase in milk production like we typically would when we see improved margins. We do think that these positive margins are going to stay around for several months here as we struggle to increase milk production both in the U.S. and globally.
Okay, the sustainability issues come into consideration all the time. How is that impacting the dairy business?
We spend a lot of time on sustainability at Rabobank, and I think there's a lot of opportunities that we can come from using our knowledge and our research in these areas to help farmers prepare for some of the things coming up on the sustainability horizon.
All right. Excellent, Lucas. Where can listeners get more from Rabo?
Well, at the upcoming World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin, our entire Rabo Research Global Dairy team will be hosting a breakfast and panel discussion on global and U.S. dairy trends. That'll be on Thursday morning, October 3rd at 8 a.m. at the Tanbark at Expo.
Excellent. I'll bet they can go to a website for more information on that.
Absolutely. RaboAg.com. We can get in touch and make sure everyone gets that invite.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lucas. That is Lucas Fees, senior dairy analyst with Rabobank.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Machine Repeat on AgriTalk is brought to you by Firestone Ag. Firestone Ag now offers Bridgestone tractor tires, the ultimate lineup of tires engineered to deliver enhanced wear life, durability, and ride comfort on the road. To learn more, talk to your local certified Firestone Ag dealer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. It's Monday morning. That means it's time for a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Hey, Greg, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. Sun shining up here in Minnesota, so it's a good day.
Awesome. Awesome. You on your road, on the road to another event, are you?
Just up for a meeting in the Twin Cities today, so nice pleasant drive from Rochester up north to the Twin Cities. I haven't had much rain here for a little while, so it looks like still warm. Temperature's going to be dropping this week, so maybe fall will eventually get here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, let's get to the pick of the week. What do you got?
Pick of the week. Wow, John Deere 4840. I think we touched on it last week, Chip.
Yeah.
It was on a sale this past Thursday, Lone Rock, Iowa, by my friends at Siren Auction Sales, Riley Siren, the crew there. And we're looking forward to this one. And, wow, the 1980 model 4840, 2,163 hours on it. Now, just for a setup, coming into the auction all these years, covering these auctions, 35 years, the highest auction price I'd ever seen on a Deere 4840 was $50,000.
Yep.
That was back end of June of 22. And Thursday in Lone Rock, Iowa, it went for $71,655. And it went to Montana. And Riley texted me after the sale, and it was a ton of excitement, obviously, around this tractor. Yeah. And I did a little bit on Ag Day this morning, and just to me, it was interesting, Chip, because the 4440 and the 4240 in this 40 series has been really where the heat has been most of the years, and the big horse, the 4840. You know, just never seemed to me like it got the love, but it got some love on Thursday. $71,655,
yeah.
So pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. When you when you beat the previous record by more than $20,000, that's definitely showing a lot of love for that tractor. No doubt about it. No doubt. What else happened at that auction there in Iowa?
Well, some beautiful equipment, some more John Deere tractors. They had a 12 model Deere 8285R. 1,853 hours, that one for $188,955, solid price there. Very strong price on a 95 model John Deere 7400 two-wheel drive. And again, we've talked, you know, these 10 to 30-year-old two-wheel drives in good condition have been hot. The 7400 at 2,922 hours, so for $51,510, that's actually the second highest auction price ever on a Deere 7400 two-wheel drive. So that was very strong there. Then they had a 69 model John Deere 2020 gas with a 48 loader that really had people talking. I went for $18,105 on a 2020 gas with a loader, so that was pretty interesting. Combine did well, a 2004 John Deere 9560 SDS 2430 engine hours, went for $65,025.
Whoa.
And then a pickup, you know me, I like pickups. Yeah. 1995 Ford F-150 4x4 regular cab, one owner, 56,191 miles. I went for $17,850. So pretty cool sale in Lone Rock, Iowa Thursday.
I guess. Really cool. Okay, let's head out east to Pennsylvania. There was a collector auction out there. What did you learn there?
Yep, Saturday in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, sale, I think it was the Jeff Showalker collection. I think it was an estate auction. It was by the All American Auction Service. And let's flip from green to red.
Yep.
So amazingly, on this sale, they had an international 1086, 735 original hours. Wow. That went for $42,500, second highest auction price ever on a 1086. If you're wondering what the highest was, that was my good friend Danny Anderson up in Pine Island, Minnesota, back in about a year ago, September of 23. He had the very first 1086 ever made. It went for $67,650, 76 miles, 6,000 hours. A couple others on the sale in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, Saturday. They had a 1066 with 4 hours on a complete rebuild. So a different situation, not original hours, but a rebuild, looked like new. That brought $40,000, sixth highest ever on a 1066. They set a record on a 766 International. That was also rebuilt. That went for $29,000. record had been 24-5. They had a two-wheel drive International 3488. Kind of cool to see those. Yeah. Jump brought 25,000. And another pickup, okay. 97 Ford F-350. It was custom ordered new. How about this? 3,429 original miles. Regular cab. Looked like a long box to me. Yeah. Red and white, that two-tone. And it went for $40,000. Showroom condition. So pretty cool sale on Saturday in Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God.
3,429 miles at, what, 27 years old? That's called keeping it in the shed, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Pulled that one out for special occasions only, right?
I guess church must have been close by if they just drove to church every Sunday, maybe a half mile down the road or something, I guess.
Yeah.
Or they didn't go that often.
Either way, yes. All right. Head back to the middle of the country. And you talked last week about an auction that was going to be happening in Fort Madison. Any details from that?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday, kind of a test the market type of auction. Big dealer sale by a great team at Merit Auctions. Just a few late model examples on the tractor side. They had a 23 model Deere 9RX 640, 331 hours, went for $490,000. That was the high ticket on the sale. 22 model 9R 640, four wheel drive, 920 hours, went for $445,000. For into the red tractors, they had a 19 model Steiger 620 quad, 920 hours, that went for $350,000. Sprayers, a 23 model John Deere, 410R, 306 hours, 120 foot boom, 1,000 gallon stainless steel tank, went for $330,000. Now let's talk a couple combines. 23 model Deere S780, 158 engine hours, 460. 23 model Deere 790, 275 engine hours, 420. 23 model Deere 770 with only 18 engine hours, went for $395,000. Folks, you can find all these auction prices. Just go to machinerypete.com, click on the auction price link, and we just keep jamming them in there. But, yeah, those prices, I mean, given the volume of stuff out there, you know, it's definitely down a notch from what it was. Yeah. But, again, still some pretty good-sized checks being written out there. And, again, the volume of this late models, large stuff out there has been quite high for some time now.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, if you don't have a feel for this, just say so and we'll figure it out for later. Do you feel like the collector market or the later model, put them back in the field market, is stronger right now?
Well, I would say the collector market, and qualifying that further down into the two examples we led with.
Yeah.
So a 1980 model, 4840, and then the 1086, so you're talking 76, you know, kind of, again, that late mid-70s into the early 80s. Now, that's where the collector money is flowing. Yeah. And you're getting these big checks and these records. So there is still old money out there for sure. I call it old money, just smart farmers that, you know, had some good years and know what they want. And then here along comes the nicest 4840 you've ever seen. So the dude in Montana is like, yeah, I want it. I'm going to buy it. Boom. Right. So that part of the market is still strong, obviously.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the equipment, you know, on the high end, the late model stuff, that's, you know, it's come down quite a bit. Still not quite to the level of drop that I saw 10 years ago, but significant drop, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Unique piece there in Middlefield, Ohio.
Yeah, no kidding. That was, I think it was Friday, it was the Middlefield, Ohio, 1944 Bell City 24-inch threshing machine. It had not been used for 8 years. It had been sitting in the museum, actually. It needed belts, brought $2,000. Now, kind of funny, Chip, I posted that on our social media, and one guy on our Twitter feed, I can't call it X, I call it Twitter, but he's like, I forget his comment. It was pretty funny along the lines of that being pre-deaf and not being computerized. And I said, yeah, you know, probably wasn't going to throw too many codes on you. But $2,000, it's just kind of a cool looking part of our past for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You see those machines scattered around the country, and they always catch my attention. There's no doubt. All right, Greg, good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, sounds good. Have a great week, Chip.
All right, you too. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, here on AgriTalk. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some things that you can do this fall to increase your odds of success next year. Missy Bauer, B&M Crop Consulting, next.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit FirestoneAg.com.
What's a corn farmer's favorite dog?
A husky.
Some things shouldn't be flat. But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/...
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 5 to 23.17, November up 21 to 22.70, December up 18 to 21.45, January milk up 5 at 20.60. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets are relatively flat today. Feeder cattle markets are mostly lower. Now, the trade is really wanting to see more fundamental support before advancing prices any higher, even though we had the higher cash markets last week. And even the higher box beef prices today, there's still a little bit of apprehension here, at least early on in the week. It's also the end of the quarter and end of the month. That's providing some pressure to the markets. Hog markets, meanwhile, moving mostly higher as the trade is wanting to advance futures higher due to higher midday pork cutout values. October live cattle steady at 183.75. October feeder cattle down 90 cents to 246.17. October hogs up 15 cents to 82.20. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat higher as the quarterly stocks report looking pretty positive for the trade. Lower ending stocks than what the trade was guessing for corn and soybeans. The wheat stocks were relatively similar, and that is providing some pressure or some support rather to the markets, along with some lower production numbers as well. December corn up 9.25 to 427.25. November beans up 2.75 to 10.68.5. December wheat up 7.75.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Missy Bauer, B&M Crop Consulting, is out of Coldwater, Michigan, and she joins us right now. Missy, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. Doing good. Little delay with the weather here over the weekend, but I think we'll get back into harvesting here here this week good. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask just for a summary of what's going on over there. What are you hearing from the east side of the Corn Belt?
You know, it obviously depends where, you know, parts of northwest Ohio are just tough shape. They just stayed dry from about, I don't know, mid-July or so on. So there's going to be some rough yields coming out of there. But up here where I'm at, in more south central Michigan, we're still pretty excited about what we're seeing. We're kind of on the real front side of things. We'll know more, you know, in another week or two as we get further along. But we're hearing on dry land corn some pretty impressive yield numbers coming out for the corn that finished a little bit earlier. So stuff that was either planted earlier or a little shorter maturity. We're hearing some pretty big record yields. So we've been a little nervous because that last 45 days of our finish, we got real dry, but some of the corn, I don't think it's going to bother as much. Maybe it'll take a little bit of the cream off the top of, you know, some of the longer day maturity corn planted a little later May. Beans we're definitely more concerned about just because it was just a real tough timing on the soybeans. Again, probably our stuff that's getting harvested on the front side maybe will hold in there a little better yield-wise, and as we get further into it, we might see them yields tail off just due to seed size. We just couldn't fill what we had, so.
Yeah, yeah. So when you look back at 2024, is something standing out where you're going to say, boy, that really worked this year? And I know every year is different, but is there one thing that you're looking at and saying, we're going to have to try that again?
Well, you know, I think on corn, I mean, again, I still think we're going to see that, you know, overall, being patient at planting time is still going to pay big dividends. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to finish the crop well this year as far as is timing. Like last year, we really drug out trying to finish the crop maturity-wise at the end. So I don't suspect any of those issues. We're ahead of schedule maturity-wise still based on all those heat units that we had. Fungicide on corn is going to prove to be a big deal again. You know, we did end up with a fair amount of tar spot coming, you know, a little bit on the later side than what we were expecting, based on humidity charts and stuff. But, you know, there's still going to be pretty big dividends there for the guys that stuck with the course and didn't pull out based on economics alone. The dividends from fungicide looks like they're going to be pretty huge yield-wise and ROI-wise. So that's good. And then nitrogen management, because some areas did have a lot of rain in July. And depending on how much and how big a rains you had at each time, that nitrogen management pretty key as well for making sure we had enough N to finish the crop late.
Right. Okay. So when they're out there in the field now harvesting, it's almost like gathering intelligence for the next year's crop. Let's run down some of the things that you want growers scouting for during harvest to help get ready for next year. You already mentioned tar spot and some nitrogen deficiency, but you can do a lot of scouting from the combine cab, right?
Absolutely. And I'll start with corn because this on tar spot, it's, I think, really important because when you think about, you know, we've really been several years since we've had what we call that firestorm back in 2021. So a lot of the hybrids we have today are different than what we had back then. So I think taking those notes from the cab while you're harvesting on which hybrids seem to have heavier pressure tar spot versus maybe put it into three categories, a moderate and then a light, and just kind of categorize them that way. So as you make your plans for 2025, I mean, you might have a hybrid that was heavy tar spot this year, but still a great yielding hybrid. Then we just know that we got to manage that a little bit differently in 25. To make sure we have our fungicides planted appropriately, or maybe it needs a second shot if it looks like tar spot's coming in and would respond to that. So I think taking those notes on tar spot is huge just because the hybrids are different than what we had the last time we had a lot of pressure. And then, you know, I always pay attention, you know, at harvest just to that kind of tip fill. How did those ears fill out? Now, obviously, that can be environmentally related, but it can also give you an indication of what's going going on with your population management. So maybe you got a hybrid that you just needed to push harder. You know, they're filled out all the way to the tips, and maybe you lost by not having more plants per acre, more population out there. So I like to take what I call tip fill notes as we're going through the hybrids again. And just, you know, you don't got to get crazy detailed level, but okay, you know, some categories. This one, you know, hybrid filled out all the way to the tip, maybe needs more pop. You know, this one, you know, blew off, you know, an inch and a half off the end. In that situation, whether you think it's environmental or not, if it's not environmental, then it's probably population related. So trying to make those notes, that helps you dial in your population plan by hybrid for the next season as well. Yeah. And then I would say soybeans, Chip, a little bit different. I mean, we are definitely going to have some areas probably where white mold is, you know, being shown. So hopefully you already know which fields have the white mold in them, because that showed up a while back in August there. But those are good notes to take too. Again, you don't always have conditions for white mold. And again, there's probably the northern states, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, parts of Minnesota this year that were wet early, you know, where we typically see a little bit more pressure of white mold year in, year out. But those are great notes to take as well, which varieties had bigger issues or not. And then again, that helps you plan for next year, because we can manage white mold with population management quite a bit. So we can pull the populations down of those varieties that tend to have a heavier pressure of white mold.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. I do want to stress something here, and I think I'm accurate on this. When you're saying take note, it means more than just notice or pay attention. You mean literally take notes so that you can refer back to them when those decisions are being made, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you think, oh, I'll remember that, but we see too much. We have too much going on, and you see so many acres and all that. So I just encourage you guys to either write it down, keep a little notepad in the cab if you want, or utilize like a Google sheet. You know, we do a lot of stuff that way. And then whoever you're working with, whether you're working with a consultant or your seed dealer, you can share those notes back and forth. But writing it right there while you're in the cab, typically have a little time to be able to handle that. Is definitely the best way, because we always think we can remember, and then all of a sudden you get to finalizing your seed orders or making management decisions for next year, and you're like, well, what was that? Which one was that? So it's best, yeah, to actually either write it down or utilize like a Google sheet or something you can share with your advisors.
Yep. There's a lot of times that just the small pad and the pen that fits in a pocket someplace, boy, that can be an awfully powerful tool for you when it comes to remembering exactly what you need to remember when you're making those important decisions later. What about weeds? We haven't talked a whole lot about weeds, but it's a great time to do some scouting on some potential problem spots for next year.
Yeah, definitely. And just evaluating your overall program, right?
Yeah.
So I think in general this year we've seen more weed escapes in soybeans than we've seen in a long time. I think some guys got a little cheap on pulling out some residuals when they're looking at the markets and worried about the tight margins. So I think taking those notes from that side of it's important too. You know, which fields have more breakthroughs maybe than others, which fields stayed clean. And then you could look back also at your own notes and see, well, what was there any differences in applications amongst those as well, to see where some of these differences are coming from. But you know, some fields just have inherently more weed pressure than others, because over the years maybe they've had escapes, and then obviously those escapes go to seed. So the weed side of it's pretty important too. I do think it looks like obviously we're having a little earlier harvest than we've had in maybe the last year or two. That always opens up better opportunities for fall spray opportunities, fall burn downs. And I think that's something to really think about. You know, when we get the year that harvest is a little earlier, we have time to think about next year better. And starting to prepare on that burn down side of it, I think is a great spot to start.
Yeah. I was, you know, we were talking about it with Brett Waltz at the start of the show, Missy, that it looks like it's going to be a clear harvest season, and this thing could wrap up before you know it. I mean, there's already been more progress down through central Iowa than what I anticipated for the end of September. Is there a risk of having too much time and trying to do too much in the fall?
No, I don't know. I'm not too concerned about that, I guess. I mean, I think fall burndown's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about your fertilizer and lime needs and getting some of that taken care of. You know, and then if you're a tillage person, then there's opportunity to do the tillage. But, you know, at the end of the day, fall still gets short no matter what, and it gets limited by Mother Nature. And you just never know when, I call it, that last day is going to be that you can be out there doing these things to push you forward for next spring. You know, because it's also based on the weather and what kind of conditions we end up having.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want to mention too, Chip, is I'm real concerned. You know, obviously markets are tough and margins are for 25 are not exciting looking at them. But you know, some of these guys just coming in here with these blank cuts on fertility, I think just got to really be careful and try to utilize what they know. Utilize your soil test if you haven't soil tested recently. You know, the what it's going to cost to get a soil test done will be worth every penny of it when you can better manage the fertilizer versus doing these blanket cuts.
Yeah, there's going to be everybody's going to be looking for that last piece of meat on the bone, Missy. I hear you. And trying to cut costs every place they can. Well, sometimes you can do that to the detriment of the bottom line, and you don't want to let that happen either. Missy, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks, Chip. Right. Have a good week.
You
Safe
bet.
Harvest,
you too.
Everybody.
Yeah, excellent. Missy Bauer, B&M Crop Consulting. If you want more from Missy, just give it a Google search, B&M Crop Consulting. Davis and I will be right back with some report expectations next.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Chad Tentinger,
founder of Legacy Beef Co-op and the principal developer of the Cattlemen's Heritage Processing Plant. Chad, tell me about the plans here. What's going on?
Well, we've done a lot in the last few years working towards this process. Cattlemen's Heritage is ready to go. It's ready to break ground. We're also forming Legacy Beef Co-op as we speak to be the provider of all the cattle that will come through the new plant outside of Council Bluffs.
Chad, that's really impressive, but what's the overall goals here? What are the primary goals of your plans?
You know, the main goal here is to tie our pricing mechanism up to the box beef cutout, the choice cutout, and start our pricing from there versus using the CME. We need to get into a market that is based on the fundamentals, and the choice cutout is a fundamental of the market.
So how do you scale this up? How big does it need to be?
So the plant itself is 525,000 head a year, 2,000 head a day on a single shift. The co-op, we are selling 525,000 units. One unit represents one delivery per year. So if you buy 100 units, you deliver 100 head a year. Round one has been closed out. Round two is closing very soon. We have five rounds total, and round three will open immediately after, then four, then five.
Chad, where can people go for more information on this?
The best place to get a hold of us is legacybeefcoop.com. Fundamentally, at the core of this, every single cattleman that's listening to this should take the time to check into this and be part of something that gives them a fair footing in the cattle industry.
Thank you, Chad. That is Chad Tentiger,
founder of Legacy Beef Co-op and principal developer of the Cattlemen's Heritage Processing Plant.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations, so it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatest yields.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation. Together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here with Chip Flory. Lots to talk about today. Great conversations this morning already. Chip, we are underway. What say?
Yeah, man, we're off and running, huh?
A couple of things. Good to check in with Machinery Pete, but I want to hop over that to the conversation with Missy Bauer from B&M Crop Consulting. Just a couple of highlights because I know you want to get to the expectations for the report.
Yeah,
which
no
will
worries.
Be out in nine or so odd minutes.
Yep.
that of course, that assumes that we'll be able to open the reports right away. That's well,
right.
Anyway.
Right. And, you know, 9 odd minutes? Do you have something strange planned here for the end of the show that's going to make these last minutes odd?
Odd is my only setting, brother. The switch is broken. Switch busted years ago. I'm stuck on odd. No, seriously, though, something from Missy Bauer, and I can tell you this from a weird sort of left-handed way. Here comes your oddness. I many, many times have written a number one Billboard smash hit song. I got the words in my head. Oh, yeah. I'll remember this.
Uh-huh.
And I have yet to remember any of them. There are songs which I thought, ooh, I should write that down. And I wrote it down, and guess what? It's now a song. Maybe it's stupid, but it's a song. It made it through the process. We're talking, you know, what she's talking about is almost where she wound up is journaling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big journal guy, but if you've got a comp book maybe in the cab or in your office or, you know, wherever to just take notes each day. Little observations, something like that. The big thing, I think, and she highlighted this, write it down.
Yep.
Write it down. You won't remember. There's too much to remember. You got too many irons in the fire, gang.
Right.
Give yourself a break and write it down. The second thing, and I'm hurrying here, landowners coming out, and I've got my page on fertilizers in it. Missy Bauer, mm-hmm. once again, exactly right. Look at P&K. If you've been skimping because prices are too high, I know somebody has. I know you're out there. There may be an opportunity here. Look at diesel, a two handle in Iowa and Illinois. Don't let that get away. There are sins, Chip, that we talk about. Oh, the sins of the spring show up at harvest. There are sins, in the fall as well. We got to watch out for those just as much.
Yeah, that's right. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. That and get a soil test and then I'm going to let it drop. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And get a soil test for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
You don't want to, you shouldn't be guessing at that. That's the bottom line.
Yep. Right. Yep. It could cost you money to guess at that.
Report coming out here in just a few minutes. Just regular minutes, I think. That's all we've got left. Unless you're going to get freaky with it. I mean, let's get weird.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think, well, you know what? There is some weirdness in these expectations.
I knew it. Okay?
You bet. You bet. Let's start with the quarterly grain stocks report. These are stocks as of September 1 for corn, soybeans, and wheat and other crops, but that's where we're going to focus here. Now, for corn and soybeans, this will be the carryover, final carryover for the 2023-24 marketing year. So the closest comparison that we've got to these numbers would be the carryover estimates that we got in the September supply and demand report. So for corn, that September carryover estimate from USDA was 1.812 billion bushels. 1.812 billion bushels. The average trade guess going into the report this afternoon is 1.844 billion bushels. So 32 million bushels above the estimate that we got from USDA just a few weeks ago. That's a bit of a deviation from what USDA was anticipating. But get this, Davis, get this. When you wonder, geez, why do the markets react the way they do to the reports when they're released? I mean, it was so close to the average trade guess, 1.844 billion bushels. The range on the September 1 corn stocks, 1.655 to 2.017 billion bushels. I mean, it's not 400 million bushels, but it's close to it for that range on what the September 1 corn stocks are going to be. That's somebody, you want to say it for me?
Somebody's going to be on the wrong side of the canoe. Somebody's going to be surprised, Joe.
Somebody's going to be surprised when you look at a range that is that wide. That's exactly right. So heads up on corn, and it's a part of the reason that this report generates as much volatility as it does. Soybeans. Go back to the September WASDE report. USDA's estimate of carryover was 340 million bushels. The average trade guess for September 1 bean stocks ahead of the report today, 351 million bushels. So 11 million bushels higher than what USDA just recently estimated. The range, ready for this?
I'm ready.
323 million to 443 million bushels.
Whoa.
That's 120 million bushel range.
Wow.
Again, somebody's more than likely going to be surprised by the number when we get it from USDA. And as I said to Brian at the bottom of the hour, this is like USDA's last chance. I say that in quotes because they can use the census of ag to adjust previous crop estimates later. But that's done once every 5 years. So this is like the last chance that they've got to adjust 2023 crop estimates. And that's one of the reasons that we might see some movement in these numbers. On the wheat side of things, the September 1 USDA carryover estimate was 1.767 billion bushels. The average trade guess going into this is 1.973 billion bushels. For stocks on September 1. Big difference there. Big. You know what? I got that wrong for you. Oh. That 1.767 billion is the September 1, 2023. There. So an increase, about 200 million bushel increase from where we were a year ago. We also get the annual small grain summary, the all wheat average trade guess, 1.966 billion bushels. The winter wheat crop, 1.35 billion bushels, and the other spring wheat crop is expected at 540 million bushels. All right, we mentioned this earlier, but come back this afternoon. We got a good one breaking down the reports. We've got Ben Brown, University of Missouri, here on AgriTalk.
Always up early, always getting the job done, always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more, because you never settle for For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bank.